السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس، صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, Allah Azza wa Jal has favored us tremendously by making us from amongst the best ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever created. Allah ta'ala says, we have made you the best of all ummahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept various distinctions with regard to this ummah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is such an honor that even the past Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, in various stages of their life, had expressed a desire to be amongst the ummah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And amongst the distinctions with regard to this ummah is that this ummah, despite the fact that it has come last, it would be the first ummah to take, Allah will take reckoning first from this ummah. أَسْبَقُهُمْ إِلَى الْحِسَابِ وَأَسْبَقُهُمْ دُخُولًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And it will be the first ummah to enter into Jannah. Despite the fact that it came last. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ حَتَّى أَدْخُلَهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. Jannah is haram upon all the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't enter into it. And Jannah is haram upon all the other ummahs until my ummah does not enter into it. By us coming last, there is various other distinctions. When you come last, you wait less for Qiyamah and reckoning. Now you and I, we know, if we have to go to an airport and they say that the flight is delayed for 6 hours, we don't like it. But they say the flight is just about to board. We feel happy because we have to wait less for the flight. By us coming last, we are going to wait less for Jannah. Another distinction is, by us coming last, our errors and our shortcomings are not made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of anyone else. You and I are aware from the Quran about the shortcomings of the previous ummah. Allah ta'ala has told us, وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَا أَخَاهُمْ شُوَيْبَ وَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ وَلَا تَنْقُصُوا الْمِكْيَالَ. What does Allah Ta'ala say? The tribe of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, because of dishonesty in business practice, they were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together with their disbelief. The tribe of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, because of an immorality, Allah destroyed them. Because we came last, we are aware of their shortcomings. But because we have come last, Allah won't make mention of our shortcomings in front of anyone else. That is why it comes. You know, Allama Iqbal has made mention of one very amazing poet, and I've heard Maulana Ihtishamul Haq Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi saying that kya ajab hai that Allah Ta'ala might forgive him because of this poem. And when he said, tu ghaniyas hardu alam man fakir, roze mahshar udra hai man padir, lig agar hisabam na guzir, to us nigah Mustafa pinha bigir. He made mention of a very amazing poem. He says that, oh Allah, you are very independent, we are very weak. And on the day of Qiyamah, you would be completely independent and we will be at your mercy. But on that day, if we have to take our account, firstly try and forgive us without any reckoning and account. And if you have to take account of our deeds, don't take it in front of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We will feel embarrassed that what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did for us and what was our reciprocation of that kindness that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for us. And the hadith makes mention that Allah has taken this into account. It comes in a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said on the day of Qiyamah, I will ask Allah Ta'ala that, O Allah, don't reveal the faults of my ummah in front of anyone. Give it to me. And Allah will tell me, O Muhammad, if I were to give the account of your ummah to you, won't they feel embarrassed in front of you? I won't even give it to you. I will keep it to myself. So this, by us coming last, look at what great distinction it is of this ummah. Also another aspect with regard to the distinction of this ummah is, the effort is little, the reward is tremendous. The effort is little, the reward is tremendous. Mention is made in the hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day made dua for the blessings of the ummah's deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat, Man dalladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasana. Who is there who will give a loan to Allah? And if a person gives a loan to someone respectable, he always returns it. But Allah saying, if you give a loan to Allah, Allah will definitely give it back to you. Allah will definitely reward you. Allah refers to good deeds as a loan given to Allah. Man dalladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasana fayudha'ifahu lahu adhafan kathira. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, Ya Rabbi, zid ummati. Oh Allah, give even more to my ummah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat, Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Whoever does one righteous deeds from this ummah, Allah will multiply it 10 times. And whoever does one evil deed, it will only be reckoned as one evil deed. My Ustad Qari Miftahullah used to tell us, Insha'Allah, that which is multiplied by 10 will overcome that which is multiplied by 1. But Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, Ya Rabbi zid ummati, O Allah, give my ummah even more than that. Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَمْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلِ. The gist of the ayat, whoever gives 1 cent in charity, Allah will multiply it 700 times. And if Allah wishes, Allah will do even given more than that. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Ya Rabbi zid ummati, O Allah, give my ummah even more than that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. I will reward those who persevere upon my commands, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, O Muhammad, such a reward, بِغَيْرِ حِسَاب, that cannot be counted. The effort is little, the reward is so much. My dear respected brothers, we can continue giving mention with regard to the virtue and distinction of this ummah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, this ummah is like rain. In rain, beneficial rain, you don't know the first part of the rain or the last part of the rain is beneficial. In a similar manner, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, this entire ummah from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time till the day of Qiyamah is like rain. You don't know whether the first part or the last part is beneficial to the ummah. Obviously, the people who are the first rank, the first portion, they are more blessed. They are more closer. But in terms of benefit, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you don't know that. The entire ummah is blessed, just like the entire rain is blessed. In fact, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taken into account the difficult condition the people of the ummah will live in as they come closer towards Qiyamah, further from the Mubarak time of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he made mention with regard to this in one hadith, Tuba liman ra'ani wa amana bih. Congratulations be upon that person who have seen me and brought iman upon me. Congratulations, worthy of admiration, worthy of being very close to Allah. But tuba sab'a marrat. Congratulations 7 times upon that ummah, that portion of the ummah that did not see Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they brought iman upon the teachings of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has congratulated us 7 times. So this is the virtue of this ummah, my dear respected brothers. And it is so unfortunate sometimes in our conversation, we talk disparagingly about this ummah. Yes, there might be certain traits of Islam that certain other communities, other faith groups might have taken from. But collectively, this ummah is such so superior that it does not behove us that we talk about this ummah comparatively and relatively to other ummah in a disparaging manner. It is a beloved ummah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, let us keep in mind, my dear respected brothers, that this particular ummah has been and came into existence with tremendous sacrifice by our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was always on the lookout to keep this ummah as one ummah, the ummah panah, to keep this ummah as an ummah. Thus we find in the example of Bani Mustalaq, that when there was an argument, they broke up between a muhajirin and ansar. One muhajir from Makkah, one ansari from Medina. And because of this argument, they tried to gain the help of their fellow people from the same nation and ethnic group. And the muhajir said, oh people of Makkah, come to my assistance. And the ansari said, oh people of Medina, come to my assistance. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to hear about this, he was so disappointed and said, since when has this foul slogan entered into the ummah? Why are you calling people on the basis of ethnic groups and said, you come to my assistance? Why don't you call on the basis of truth and the basis of righteousness and being on the right path. And in the words of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to say that in Medina such a ummah was created, such an environment was created, that if there were 10,000 people in Medina Munawwara, then every person had the support and the well-wishing of 9,999 people, and no one wished him well. This is how this ummah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was brought into existence. Today we have to say very unfortunately that concept of the ummah as one ummah is fast fading to such an extent. One wonders where we can see the real manifestation of that particular ideal and that type of situation which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam strove for, and he brought it into existence in Medina Munawwara. One wonders whether we will ever see that concept. Hajj is perhaps supposed to be that one occasion where we are supposed to show the manifestation of one ummah. You see, for example, in terms of the nation states and the new political system of the world, we don't have the ummah as one block. We don't have the ummah as one block. Allah has said, "Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida." This whole entire ummah is one ummah. But where do you see a manifestation of it? We have how many, 54 or so nation states. So what happens is, despite the fact that any particular one of those 54 can have tremendous resources, by the new world order, it can only use its resources by and large for the protection of its own inhabitants within its own geographical location. So the army of Pakistan, for example, just give an example, you can take anyone for that matter, Egypt, Syria, anyone else. They can only use that army to protect the geographical boundaries of Pakistan. They are not allowed to do anything beyond that. So they're only there for the sake of its own particular borders. There is no concept of the ummah. One of the reasons why Bosnian Muslims suffered, because they were not recognized by the new political entity as an entity. There is nothing like an ummah. So they didn't exist as a nation state. So they were butchered in the process because they were not recognized as an entity in the new political system. So we don't have the concept of the ummah in the political sense, in the corridors of power. In the United Nations, no one speaks on behalf of the ummah. They only speak on behalf of their own nation state. So that is something that we don't see the concept of the ummah in that level. Then perhaps the next stage is, at least in our, whether it be our masajid, whether it be our organizations, there we are supposed to see a manifestation of the ummah. Hajj is supposed to be that one situation where at least we can say that we are going to show the manifestation of the ummah. But what happens? You can't move from point A to point B in Hajj without your passport, which negates the concept of the ummah. Obviously, we could have said maybe it was for administrative purposes. But is it really for administrative purposes? It was so disappointing when someone told me he was in Hajj a few years back. And in the South African tent, when there was a flood, people from other countries came into the tent. They said, "You are not a South African, go from here." If it was for administrative purposes, we can understand. Now, where is the concept of the ummah? There is not in the political sense. It's not in the corridors of power. It is now fast fading even from our organizations and our structures like the masjid. People are more worried about taking people out of the ummah than bringing them into the ummah. When is this concept for which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sacrificed so dearly ever going to come into existence if it does not start from ground level? And my dear respected brothers, this concept of the ummah will only come when we start looking beyond our groups, our organizations, our masjids. Not to say that these are not important. By the very nature of administrative discipline, you're going to have different type of organization, some dealing with welfare, some dealing with social aspects, some dealing with different types. By the very nature, there's all of these things must happen. But we always got to realize that while we work within that sphere, beyond that there is a greater. There is a greater type of, and a broader type of situation. There's a broader type of aspect that we've got to keep in mind. And if we don't do that, then wallah, that ideal for which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam strove so much for, and he sacrificed so much for, it just remains an elusive type of dream. And of course, we've got to look beyond our groups, our organizations, while we keep that intact for the sake of administration. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala warns us with regard to this when he said, "Kullu hizbin bima ladayhim farihun." And this is what we are seeing today. Each and every group is happy with his own grouping. Each and every group is so happy with his own grouping, not looking at the broader interest of the ummah. Ali Khudai rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of an amazing statement of Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, which is worthy of consideration and worthy of thinking about. When he said, Ali radiallahu anhu said, the polluted ummah is better than the purified sect. What did he say? An ummah that got certain types of shortcomings, which in the general body of the ummah you're going to have shortcomings, is better than a sect which regards itself as purified and cut away from the ummah. He said, a polluted ummah, what has certain shortcomings, is better than a purified sect, because of the greatness of the ummah. And this ummah, my dear respected brothers, part of it will come. While we know salat, zikr, etc. is very important, but even beyond that, it requires akhlaq, it requires conduct, it requires mutual cooperation and concern and love and kindness towards one another. Otherwise, salat and zikr, we can't disparagingly talk about it because of its importance. But there are situations in the ummah that people who made so much salat, so much zikr, but despite that fact, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had called them the worst of this ummah. Ibn Muljim was the person who assassinated Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when people, out of rage, they got hold of him after he assassinated and made Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu shaheed, they wanted to cut off his tongue. He said, don't cut off my tongue. With his tongue, how many hundred thousand times I take the name of Allah. But yet Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, the person who assassinated Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be the worst person of this ummah. He'll be the worst person of this ummah at that particular time. So he what salat and zikr. The ummah will come about that together with salat and zikr, we also mutual care, mutual concern, and have akhlaq towards one another. And one of the greatest aspects with regard to the preservation of the ummah, my dear respected brother, is the tongue. The tongue is the greatest. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surrounded the tongue with 32 bodyguards, the teeth. But we don't use those bodyguards in trying to rein in the tongue. We say whatever we want. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day told the Sahaba and said that owing to the indiscretion of the tongue, most of the people that will go into Jahannam will be owing to the indiscretions of the tongue. Part of this ummah is also that together, beyond also religious education, part of bringing the ummah together is, together with the education, we also look at the broader aspect of the ummah. Education itself will not bring salvation. In the time of Akbar, people like Abul Fazl and Faizi were such great scholars. Wallah, today no one can even say that they are scholars to that rank in terms of information and education. They wrote the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way only using words of the Arabic language that did not have dots. They wrote the whole book on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam without that. They were such great scholars, but they misled Akbar and they misled themselves. So this ummah will come into existence together with the other basic aspects of deen. We also take care to nurture this ummah and keep it together as one ummah. And part of this, my dear respected brothers, is we show respect to each and every member of this ummah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ I have granted respect and honor to every child of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. I heard from one of our great ulama, Mawlana Sajjad Numani, who was here when he said that Allah does not say respect titles or respect influence or respect the people that you know. You and I today, we respect titles. We respect a person because he's a Mawlana, he's an Imam, he's a Sheikh. By all means, he must be respected. And we respect people because he's influential, he's wealthy, people know him. But Allah doesn't demand only that from us. Allah says, I have granted respect and honor to every child of Adam alayhi salam. Allah didn't say, I have granted respect to people who have titles. And therefore, it is our duty to show respect and honor to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted respect and honor to. And I will conclude with one incident and conclude my talk, that such is a situation, my dear, even a young person who might be what we say offline, he is going to the raves, or he is going into places where he is taking drugs, and he is addicted. Wallah, sometimes it's our fault that we have not been able to present to him the true message of Allah. Wallah, that person who is young, who is offline, if he realizes his worth, he realizes what Allah has made him, the great ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will come upon the right path. And when he comes upon the right path, he will make such ibadat. He will cry in front of Allah, that even the angels will envy his crying, provided we bring him upon the right path and make him realize his worth. That is what the example that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. When Wahshi, he who assassinated the uncle of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are all well aware with regard to the incident. It had such a great effect upon our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood by the body of Hamza after he had been martyred and cried so much. And afterwards, Wahshi came afterwards to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after 8 years. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know that Wahshi was in one of a city or place near Taif. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi in Hayatul Sahaba, he writes, wrote to him and said, "Oh Wahshi, accept Islam." Wahshi turned round to the people who came with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message and said, "What must I do in accepting Islam? Everything Islam prohibited, I did. I murdered, I did immorality. What am I going to do by accepting Islam?" So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam writes him a letter, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Allah says, "Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan." He who repents from his evil misdeeds of the past, and he has iman and does righteous deeds, Allah will change his previous evil deeds into good deeds. Wahshi says, "Your prophet says this, I haven't have iman, I don't have righteous deeds, I haven't repented, what am I going to benefit in accepting Islam?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam writes him another letter. "Oh Wahshi, Allah says in the Quran, Inna allaha la yaghfiru ayyushraka bih." Oh Wahshi, Allah says, "I will not forgive a person who associates partners to Allah." Other than that, whatever evil a person does, if Allah wills, Allah ta'ala will forgive him. Wahshi turns around and tells the messengers, "Go and tell your prophet, Allah says, if he wills, he will accept. If he doesn't will, he won't accept. What is benefit? I got no guarantee." Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam writes him another. Who is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pleading with? A person who assassinated the uncle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have that respect to even one who is from amongst us. And then what he says, "Oh Wahshi," Allah says, "Qul ya ibadiya alladhina asrafu ala anfusim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah." Whoever has done wrong, don't let them despair of the mercy of Allah. If they are sincere in repentance, Allah will forgive all the guna and sins. Wahshi says, "No, I will come. Tell your prophet, now I will come." When he comes to Medina, he covers his head with his scarf. That he is afraid that before I come to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe the other Sahaba would destroy me and kill me. And when he comes just in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reveals his face. Even that time, the Sahaba's hands go to their sword. "Ya Rasulullah, Wahshi, let us finish him up." Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, leave him. Wahshi, come near me. Wahshi, tell me how you kill my uncle." The ulama say 8 years before this incident that he killed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle. And yet the wound is fresh. "Wahshi, tell me how you killed my uncle." After he related this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cries. Then he accepts Islam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, "Oh Wahshi, because of you accepting Islam, Allah will forgive you. But don't come in front of me. Every time you come, I'm going to be thinking about my uncle." Even that person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about his hidayat. Even such a person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pleaded with him to come upon the right path to bring him into the ummah. In this regard, my dear respected brothers, to keep this ummah, there is also two very important programs that will be taking place, the ijtimaas that will be taking place, one that will be taking place over the Easter weekend here in Durban, and one that will be taking place in Johannesburg over the 27th April, that particular weekend. We humbly request the people to take part in this, so that we can once again bring about that dream, that sacrifice for which Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the sacrifice to bring this ummah into one ummah. And together with it, all the other beautiful works of deen that are taking place, let us also tie it up with the aspect of the oneness and the greatness of this ummah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.